Chapter 22. Eddie Cox called in. "Jesse," he said, "I got a home invasion. I think you need to come down here now and bring Molly." "Where?" Jesse said. Cox gave him the address on Beach Street. "Here I come," Jesse said. "Can we do the siren?" Molly said, as they drove to Beach Street. "No need," Jesse said. "Damn," Molly said, and settled back in the passenger seat with her arms folded. "Where are we going to?" "Home invasion," Jesse said. "Must be a woman involved. Cox requested you." "Maybe he just wanted my superior investigative skills," Molly said. "Maybe," Jesse said. Cox's patrol car was parked down the street in front of an ordinary-looking smallish white colonial-style house on a street of smallish colonials in the south part of town, near the commuter railroad station. There was a pear tree in the front yard. When Jesse rang the bell, Cox opened the front door and gestured them to the living room, which ran the length of the house from back to front. A woman sat on the couch wearing jeans and a white t-shirt. She was crying. "Kids?" Jesse said. Molly walked over and sat down on the couch beside the woman. "In school," Cox said. "Husband works in Boston. He's on his way." "Name?" Jesse said. Cox glanced at his notebook. "Dorothy Brown," he said. Jesse nodded and walked to the couch. "I'm Jesse Stone, Mrs. Brown. Are you okay?" She nodded. "Can you tell me what happened?" Jesse said. She nodded again. Molly sat quietly beside her. Jesse waited. Mrs. Brown gathered herself. "What if the kids had been here?" she said. "It's good that they weren't," Jesse said. Mrs. Brown took a couple of breaths. "Michael went to work like always, the 7:40 train from Preston Station. I got the kids onto the school bus at 8. She smiled very faintly. "That's always a struggle. I cleaned up breakfast dishes, made the beds, took a shower, and dressed for the day." Across the room from where she sat on the couch was a small, clean fireplace, and above it a large oil painting of surf breaking over the kind of rock outcroppings that lined the coast north of Boston. She stared at it blankly as she talked. Her voice was under tight control, almost monotone. "I came downstairs all neat and clean," she said, "with my makeup on, and he was in my living room with a ski mask on. I was going to have coffee and read the paper." Eddie Cox stood near the front door, looking uneasy. Molly sat close to Mrs. Brown on the couch. Jesse waited. "He had a gun," she said. "He said he wouldn't hurt me if I did what he said. I said, I think, something like, 'What do you want?' He said for me to take off all my clothes." Jesse nodded. "So I said something really stupid, like, 'Why?' And he said, and I remember him saying it just like this, 'Because if you don't, I will hurt you, but if you do, I won't.'" She paused and hugged herself as if she were cold. Molly patted her arm gently. "I couldn't seem to get started for a minute. I just stood there, and he made a little gesture with the gun, and he said, 'You want me here when the kids come home from school?'" Her eyes filled as if she were going to cry, but she didn't. She got under control again. "So I undressed." She looked down at her lap and shivered. "He stood there and watched me take my clothes off in my living room at like 10 o'clock in the morning." Cox turned and looked out through the narrow glass sidelights flanking the front door. Molly continued to pat Mrs. Brown's arm. "And when I got entirely naked, he just stood there looking at me. I think I said something like, 'Please don't rape me.' And he nodded and took out one of those little digital cameras and took pictures of me." "Oh, God," Molly said. "I didn't know what to do. I just had to stand there. Then he told me to lie face down on the couch and close my eyes and count to 100 without looking up. In some ways, that was the worst. I didn't know what he would do. So I counted, and when I got through counting, I sort of peeked, and he was gone. And I sat up, and he was still gone. So I put on my clothes and called you."
"How close did he get?" Jesse said.
"Close?"
"Uh-huh."
"Not very," Mrs. Brown said. "Not as close as you are now."
"So he didn't touch you," Jesse said.
"No."
Jesse looked around the living room. There were no pictures except the oil painting above the fireplace. "How did he know you had kids?" Jesse said.
"I don't know," Mrs. Brown said.
"You didn't mention them?" No. You didn't recognize this man, Jesse said. He was wearing a ski mask, she said. I told you that. I know, Jesse said. But sometimes people recognize a voice or mannerisms if the masked person is well known to them. I have no idea who this man was. Okay, Jesse said. Couple of things. First, I'm very sorry that this happened to you. I can't make it up to you. But I can try very hard to catch this guy. Mrs. Brown nodded. Second, when your husband gets home, you and he will need to decide what you're going to tell the kids, keeping in mind that this story may become public knowledge. What do you think he'll do with the pictures? Mrs. Brown said. I don't know, Jesse said. Often they keep them to themselves.
They?
People who do this sort of aggressive voyeurism, Jesse said. There are people who do this, Mrs. Brown said. Yes.
But they don't always keep the pictures to themselves, Mrs. Brown said.
No, Jesse said.
Oh, God.
You and your husband should talk when he gets here, Jesse said. Mrs. Brown nodded. The other thing, Jesse said, do you have a place where you could go for the rest of the day?
Kids too, she said.
Yes, everyone, until about supper time.
I guess we could go across the street, she said.
The Cronins, why? I want to seal the house off so my crime scene guy can go over it.
There won't be any fingerprints, she said. He was wearing those latex gloves like doctors wear.
Still need to go over the house, Jesse said, if we may.
Okay, she said.
Officer Crane will go with you, Jesse said. You and she can talk more.
What if he comes back? Mrs. Brown said.
We'll see to it, Jesse said, that you are not alone. Mrs. Brown nodded. So, Jesse said, Ma, why don't you take Mrs. Brown over to the Cronin's where you can talk? Molly nodded.
What about my husband? Mrs. Brown said.
We'll send him over when he gets here.
Can you let me tell him? She said.
Of course, Jesse said. They were quiet. Then Mrs. Brown said,
All he did was see me naked.
Molly said, Yes.
I'm 41, Mrs. Brown said. Other men have seen me naked. Not a bunch, but some.
Sure, Molly said.
My body's still okay, Mrs. Brown said. It's not like I should be ashamed of my body.
Of course not, Molly said.
So why is this such a big deal? Mrs. Brown said.
Molly put her arm around Mrs. Brown's shoulders. It is a big deal, Molly said, for you.
Why?
The others were voluntary, Molly said. Chapter 23 Betsy Ingersoll came into Jesse's office and sat down in a chair in front of his desk and crossed her legs. Not unattractive, Jesse thought. A little sturdy, maybe, but not so sturdy that she was unattractive. Thanks for coming in, Jesse said.
You are the chief of police, Mrs. Ingersoll said. I respect authority.
Wish there were more like you, Jesse said.
May I call you Betsy?
Which is not to say I necessarily respect you. Just the office, Jesse said.
Why do you wish to see me? She said.
I wanted to ask you a few more questions about the recent incident, Betsy, Jesse said. Would you like to have your attorney present?
You mean my husband, Mrs. Ingersoll said. I am capable of speaking without him.
So you are willing to speak to me without counsel, Jesse said.
I have done nothing wrong, she said. I am willing to speak with anyone.
Nice, Jesse said. How many of the girls you checked on that day were inappropriately clothed?
How many?
Yeah. How many were too risque or whatever, Jesse said. Isn't that why you checked?
Chief Stone, Mrs. Ingersoll said. That was some time ago now. I have no idea.
You checked 22 girls, Jesse said, of whom you sent 13 home to change.
If you knew that, why did you bother to ask?
I'm a small-town police chief, Betsy. I got nothing else to do.
I would prefer to be called Mrs. Ingersoll, she said.
Ah, it's so formal, Jesse said. You want to get even, call me Jesse.
Do you have anything else, Mrs. Ingersoll said.
Of the 13 you sent home to change, were all of them wearing thongs?
That is a preposterous question, she said.
The whole business is preposterous, Betsy. How many were wearing thongs?
I have no idea.
Seven thongs, Jesse said. Four bikinis and a couple that were too lacy or the wrong color or something. Undergarments are not ornamental, Mrs. Ingersoll said. They are for sanitation and modesty.
Does Victoria's Secret know about this? Jesse said.
You are badgering me, Chief Stone, pure and simple, Mrs. Ingersoll said. And I don't know why.
I'm trying to understand, Betsy.
There is nothing to understand, she said. My job is the well-being of those children. Not merely that they can read and write. My concern is the whole child. And I will not allow my girls to be anything less than ladies.
Chilling, Jesse said.
I beg your pardon. The door to Jesse's office was open, and Jay Ingersoll appeared in it.
What the hell is going on here? He said.
Jesse glanced up at him and smiled.
Ah, Jay, Jesse said. If only I knew.